I've always been the type to go all in. When I get into something, whether it's fitness, food, or just following every twist and turn of the season, I want to explore every angle. That's why Prime is such a game changer. It's not just fast delivery, though getting a new cookbook or resistance bands the next day definitely helps. It's also the deep dives on Prime Video, the playlists that match my mood on Amazon Music, and the way all of it comes together to keep me going. What I've learnt is this: Prime isn't just a service, it's a hub, a place where my interests, old and new, can live and grow. From race day rituals to everyday obsessions, Prime helps me get more out of whatever I'm into, and even shows me what's next. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into. amazon.com/prime.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. Hungary gave us another new Grand Prix winner, the seventh different driver on the top step of the podium this season, after a dramatic race on track and on the radio.
The way to win a championship is not by yourself, it's with the team. You're going to need Oscar and you're going to need the team.
Lando Norris is backing off. He was on the cusp of a second Grand Prix victory. A swap of positions. Oscar Piastri goes back through into the lead of a Grand Prix.
Yeah, you don't need to say anything.
The Australian driver advances all the way to the checkered flag. Oscar Piastri wins for the first time in Formula One. It's a McLaren 1-2.
Thank you, everyone. Sorry, I made the swap a little bit more painful than it needed to be, but first F1 win. Thank you, everyone. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Welcome to the Hungaroring paddock for F1 Nation's review of the Hungarian Grand Prix. I'm Tom Clarkson, and joining me is ESPN's Albert Fabrega. Now, Albert, there's so much to debrief, and it's a long list as well. Just get this list: Jenson Button, Fernando Alonso, Heikki Kovalainen, Esteban Ocon, Damon Hill, and now Oscar Piastri have all won their first Grand Prix here in Hungary.
Yes, it's been an really exciting, I would say, the whole weekend, in with a lot of surprises, and finally the race, it didn't disappoint us as we expected. It was so close, and with some polemics that we will talk about, because it's been really interesting to go a little bit more deep on what happened there.
Well, it was a McLaren 1-2. They were the dominant team all weekend. Let's start our chat on McLaren just by hearing from both the drivers.
Very, very special. It was an incredible moment. I mean, it's always special when you get to stand on an F1 podium, but it's a little bit nicer when you're at the top of it. So, very happy. Like I said, an incredible moment that I've been, you know, dreaming of for a very long time. My first dream in my career was reaching F1. The second one is winning a race. So I'm very, very happy and proud, and you know, not just of myself, but everybody that's helped me get to this position. Going back to my family, firstly, of course, took a lot of big decisions at a young age to chase the F1 dream. it's very difficult to become an F1 driver by staying in Australia. So it meant some big decisions early in life, and just very, very proud that those decisions have paid off and we've managed to make it worth it. And yeah, of course, myself, just incredibly happy to have achieved this moment.
Can we talk about tactics? Given the advantage you and Lando had in that race, why didn't you stop first? It would have been a lot simpler.
I mean, I'm sure it's something we'll discuss as a team. You know, the information I had at the time was Lando was boxing early to cover Lewis, and I was going long to cover Max, essentially, because I knew that he'd stop later, and I think, you know, we were just being very safe. Of course, that naturally, you know, gave Lando an undercut and maybe made things a little bit more complicated than it needed to be. But yeah, I'm sure that's something we'll go through.
Lando, many congratulations. It's been a very impressive weekend by you and McLaren. How difficult was it for you to give up the race win?
I didn't give up the race win. I lost the race win off the line. So I know everyone's going to want to say that as a story, that I gave up the race win. I didn't. I boxed first. Naturally, you're always going to undercut. So the team gave me this position and I gave it back. Nothing more than that.
There was a lot of discussion between you and your race engineer over the radio. How seriously did you consider not giving it back?
I mean, things are always going to go through your mind, because you got to be selfish in this sport at times, you know, and you got to think of yourself. That's priority number one, is think of yourself. And I'm also a team player, so my mind was going pretty crazy at the time. And I know what we've done in the past between, you know, Oscar and myself, and he's helped me plenty of times. And I think this is a different situation. This is not someone helping one another. This is I was put into a position and we were undoing that position change. And I know a lot of people are going to say, like, the gap between me and Max is pretty big. But, you know, if Red Bull and Max make the mistakes like they did today and continue to do that, and as a team we continue to improve and have weekends like we've had this weekend, we can turn it around. And it's still optimistic. It's still a big goal to say, yeah, we can close 70 points. And as a driver, I can close 70 points in half a season. And then when you're thinking of the 7 or 6 points that I give away, then it crosses your mind for sure. So it was not easy, but I also understood the situation I was in, and I was quite confident. Always by the last lap, I would have done it. And it's not my fault I was leading the race in a way. Simply, the team should have just boxed Oscar first and we wouldn't even be having this discussion. So it's not that. I think just as a team, maybe we could have done things slightly differently, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. But at the same time, this guy here deserved to win today. He did an amazing job. He got me off the line, and that's a very special feeling, winning your first race. I'll let him enjoy it. And, you know, for us as a team and to have the win, it's an incredible weekend for all of us.
So I guess the key point is, should Lando have given that position back? Was he correct to do that? Should he feel hard done by?
As far as I know, as far as I guess, it was already discussed before the start of the race. So I think that everyone had a clear idea of what was have to be done during the race if this situation arrived. And I think that he should, yeah. And I would say something, Tom. If you try to change the situation, if you try to convince the engineers or the staff of the team that you must keep the position, go till the end. Do a Sebastian Vettel multi-21.
And then we'll discuss Malaysia at the end of the race. Do you know what? That's the first thing that sprung to mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, there was a 1998 Spa when Ralf Schumacher and Damon Hill were... There was lots of radio traffic when, of course, Jordan won there. Funnily enough, I thought what Lando said just then diffused the situation very well. You know, saying that he lost the race in the opening 10 seconds. He didn't deserve to win this Grand Prix. And that's a convincing argument, but, and I think it is still a big but, had he taken that win, the gap in the driver's standings to Max Verstappen would have been just 69 points, but it now stands at 76 points. And ultimately, you know, are you here to win the world championship, or are you here to be a team player?
That's a good point. That's a good point, because maybe they will miss that point at the end of the season. As the season is going, we have to expect that the things will get closer by the end of the season. And that points, it can be key if you are fighting closer to Max Verstappen. But I know, you know, maybe McLaren is stick on their principles. on the races, and they are fixed on that, and they are still thinking that maybe they are not ready at that stage to say who is number one and who is number two, and I think they are following their philosophy on this, and I cannot say they are doing a bad job, but maybe from after what happened today, they know that they don't have two young drivers, and they don't have rising stars, they don't have rookies. They have a proper Formula One drivers. As a Formula One drivers, they want to win always, and they don't like the team orders, and they don't like to lose anything. So maybe from now onwards, they will change the strategy, not looking for the optimal strategy, and maybe they will look for a strategy that it's avoiding some situations on the track like today.
It's so easy to be an armchair strategist, yeah, isn't it?
Yes, but I mean, yes, we are all good on that, yes, on Monday.
But all they had to do was pit, yes, Oscar.
Easy.
Because the undercut is so powerful here.
And they have a big margin.
It did seem obvious. So yep. I guess going forward, you've just got to do the obvious thing and not worry. I think they said they were covering Hamilton. Well, I don't think they needed to.
No, but they look at the computer, and the computer say, okay, let's put in a safe situation first the second driver, and then we will go for the first, because Hamilton is closer to Norris than Piastri. And then we will do a radio message, and then we will swap the positions. That's not a problem, because they thought that the young drivers, they will accomplish the team orders with no problem. And they are not already rookies. They are already Formula One drivers that they want to win every single lap and every single race on a Formula One weekend. So, probably next time they will not only look at the computer or at the optimal strategy, they will look at the whole situation, and probably they will act in another manner to avoid what happened today.
They talk about situational awareness, don't they? Sometimes you just have to close the laptop.
Yes.
And actually react to what's going on around you.
Agree. It's like the one when you say the computer says it's raining. Okay, you just put the hand away out of the pit wall and see if it's raining.
So true.
If your hand is wet, it's raining. Yeah. Sometimes it's better.
And we're going
to
Spa next
weekend. Yes.
Look, a couple of things on the performance of McLaren. Were you surprised by their dominance this weekend?
No, I would say no. I would say that after what they've done the last races, on a very different circuit that requires a very different setup, aerodynamic and suspension setup, that they were all quick everywhere. Whenever they arrive to a place where the balance of the car is perfect, where the car switches perfectly with the layout of the circuit, they could be the number one force and the number one team. And I think that they've been already number one in some tracks last races, but they didn't maximize the whole potential of the car and the team to achieve a 1-2 as they did here.
So do you think, okay, this is the first 1-2 for McLaren since Monza in 2021, but do you think this is the first time this year that we've seen the true force of that MCL36. First time we've seen what it can really do.
At least as a final result, yes. Yes, but there have been other races where they were so quick. They were managing in a way that no other team can manage the tyres. And they've been so strong in some races. Till today, I was saying, sorry for McLaren, but I was saying the car is quicker than the drivers and the team, and the car is a step forward than them. But I think that this weekend, drivers and team, they've put all together, and they done a step forward. And I don't know if this is going to change in the short future.
I firmly believe in momentum, and I wonder whether this will be the catalyst for a run of victories now.
Agree.
For the team as they grow in confidence. But actually, a couple of points about the drivers. I've got a stat in front of me which Lando will not like. This was the fifth time that he started from pole position, if we include sprint race poles as well. And he's never led at the end of the first lap.
Yep. That means that he's not... he's still doing little mistakes. And with this current Formula One, little mistakes It caused a lot of time, a lot of points, a lot of results, and a lot of emotions as well. And this is not easy to manage. So Lando has the speed, has the pace, has everything to become a Formula One champion, but still doing very little mistakes that are costing him a lot.
Conversely, how well do you think Oscar drove today?
I love the Oscar style. You know, he in his second in year in Formula One, he's achieving amazing things. He's close to Lando today. Maybe in race pace Lando was quicker, but on qualifying he's delivering a fantastic performance. And then he needs time to learn how to manage the tire. I think in this part of the business, Lando is better, but he's growing so quick. It's incredible to see a driver with 30 races or 35 races.
This was number 35, wasn't
35
it?
Race, okay. So 35 races, achieving that performance and that result. And then I like him a lot as a person, his character, his calm. He's not excited. He's not up and downs. And I love the way he's approaching every single thing here in the Formula One.
And what do you think this win will do for Oscar's confidence? Because it's come so much earlier in his career than Lando, do you think we'll see a more obvious bump in confidence and performance?
I was thinking that from Lando, and it didn't happen. After he scored his first win in Miami, I said, that's a turning point. Okay, he's released the pressure because he's been a lot of races without that win. Now he's won a race, and now he is going to release all that pressure, and he will start to get more confident, and he will start to scoring more wins. But this didn't happen because there have been some opportunities on the last races and he didn't achieve. I don't know what will happen with Oscar, you know. I'm pretty much sure that he's leaving Hungaroring with the feeling that the team is strong on the philosophy. He's strong on thinking that he can fight at the same level than Lando. And this is a big push for him, I think. And he's starting to believe that he can do very good things in Formula One. I'm pretty much sure that his confidence will grow. Up to where, I don't know. We will have to see on the following races.
And in terms of the championships being game on, I mean, the Constructors' Championship, McLaren have not only jumped into P2, but they are only 51 points behind Red Bull. We've still got half the season ahead of us. I mean, that is game on.
Yes.
And if you're a betting man, where would you put your money? Do you think McLaren have a serious opportunity here?
Yes. Not only because McLaren, because here Red Bull has brought, a big upgrade. At least, let's put it in a volume thing, because sometimes big parts of a car just deliver a tenth, and then little things believe or bring more time. But I think that part of that frustration from Max is that they brought a new upgrade, a big upgrade here, and the car is not the quickest one. It's not in terms of race pace. So I believe that that McLaren is already there to stay. It's not a one-off. So, yeah, Ferrari is still struggling. Mercedes has not done that big step where he can be quick everywhere in all conditions. And for me, the team that is suiting better with all the conditions that we have seen in the last races and Spa next week is McLaren. Yes, I think so. They're still young as a team, not only for the drivers. I think that what Zak Brown has done with the team, with Andrea Stella, and all the change of philosophy of the team, it's still growing. So still things to learn for them, like today. And the basis of building a winning championship team are there. I have no doubts.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? But after all the frustrations of the race today and all the radio traffic between Will Joseph and Lando Norris in particular, I actually think that McLaren as a unit will be stronger for having gone through the frustrations of today than if they hadn't gone through them at all. Because as you say, it's re-emphasized how strong they are as a unit and their principles about, this is what we agreed before the race, we are sticking to these principles and nothing is going to change that.
Yep.
And I thought Will Joseph was unflinching in his messages to Lando.
We need you to save more tires, please, and we do want to let Oscar through.
We should have boxed him first then, surely, no?
Doesn't matter.
I mean, it does. For me, maybe.
Oscar's 3.5. I know you'll do the right thing.
Well, tell him to catch up then, please.
Lando, he can't catch you up. You've proved your point, and it really doesn't matter.
He's on much bigger size.
I'm trying to protect you, mate. I promise, I'm trying to protect you. The way to win a championship is not by yourself. It's with the team. You're going to need Oscar, and you're going to need the team.
I was waiting for the radio button of Andrea Stella or Zak Brown saying, this is, you know, this is the big boss, and please let him go. And it didn't happen. And this is even more interesting because, okay, I am the boss, but my job is not to let you know what you have to do. It's your engineer who's saying, come on, this is the what we have to do as a team. And that phrase, that call, last call saying, we are a team and you will need your teammate and at some point you will need the team, is fantastic. I love these things. And I love the fact that nor Zak nor Andrea push the button of the radio to make the right call. It happened only with the engineers, and this is giving also power to the engineers and giving, you know, the potential support to them, saying, no, you are the people who are running the team and this is your decision. Whatever we have to discuss it, we'll discuss it before the race. But when the green flag and the green lights are off, you are the master. You are the boss. And you are who are running the car together with your driver.
That is such a good point.
I don't like when the team principals press the button to, you know, for me, these are old school things.
Back to Multi-21, Malaysia 2013. Come on, Seb, this is getting stupid.
Yeah.
That's what Christian Horner said. So,
yeah, yeah.
But how important that didn't happen. Yep. That's a very good point.
I've always been the type to go all in. When I get into something, whether it's fitness, food, or just following every twist and turn of the season, I want to explore every angle. That's why Prime is such a game changer. It's not just fast delivery, though getting a new cookbook or resistance bands the next day definitely helps. It's also the deep dives on Prime Video, the playlists that match my mood on Amazon Music, and the way all of it comes together to keep me going. What I've learnt is this: Prime isn't just a service, it's a hub, a place where my interests, old and new, can live and grow. From race day rituals to everyday obsessions, Prime helps me get more out of whatever I'm into, and even shows me what's next. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into. amazon.com/prime.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at Honda.com.
Lewis Hamilton claims his 200th podium in Formula One.
Couldn't have done it without you guys. I'm so proud of all of you and grateful to have had done this with you. Great job today.
Lewis, coming to you, 200 podiums. What a score, what a trophy cabinet. Now, you've often said that you're not into statistics, but this surely means something.
No, honestly, it just makes me think about the whole journey and all the great people I've had the chance to work with. You know, I got signed by McLaren when I was 13. It was so much love for that team, and through the journey that we had, where I had my first world championship and they went through a really difficult time, to see them back up there is really, really great. I'm really happy to, you know, that's my whole family. So really, really grateful and to be up here with them. And then ultimately, I think it was a tough race today, and I definitely didn't think I would be having 200 podiums, but what have I done, like 347 races? So not too bad a score. And but I couldn't have done it without all those great people that I've worked with in both these teams.
Lewis Hamilton, his 200th podium.
Amazing.
In 344 races.
Amazing.
And he fought today like it was his first.
And I have a lot of respect with this all drivers, because I'm older than him, but I mean, you know, the a winner like him, that he's won 7 world titles, and he's been for more than 2 years without even smelling a win, let's say, and with a lot of frustration because of the situation of the car and situation of the team, that still today, when there is a result that is coming, he's capable to deliver his best skills, his talent, his way of managing the race. And the good thing of Lewis is that 6 months ago, he announced, together with Ferrari, that he was leaving a team. And his attitude these last 2 years and these 6 months, when were difficult situations for me, has been excellent. No big, of course there is complaints, but he could have been more damaging for the image of the team, and I think he's managed the situation very well.
And I think he's still riding the crest of the wave,
yep,
that he got from Silverstone, the yep, win at Silverstone. But of course, if he was going to crash into anyone en route to his 200th podium, it kind of had to be Max Verstappen.
Yes.
This time he gets there, he locks up, and he makes contact with his old rival. Verstappen and Hamilton come together again, battling for the final place on the podium.
Yeah, we've got the braking.
I'm not even going to get into a radio fight with the other teams, Max. It's childish on the radio. Childish.
Max fell back to finish 5th, while Lewis, of course, held on to finish 3rd. What did you make of what happened going into turn 1?
At the first sight, I say, okay, for me it's a penalty. It should be a penalty for Max. If we judge the incidents like that without taking in account the consequences, for me he was not under control of the car. He blocked the front axle and he crashed to a driver that was turning into the corner. So for me, at the first sight, it was a clear penalty. But you know, sometimes. This is not taken in account, because both drivers stay on the track and they still running till the checkered flag. So, yeah, but it's difficult. For me, it was part of that frustration.
I mean, both were blaming the other.
Yep.
Lewis was blaming Max for coming in too hot. Max was blaming Lewis for moving over.
Yeah.
And actually, both have held up their hands publicly and said that's what happened. But Lewis claims there were still 2 car widths on the inside.
True.
So Max could have moved and yep, avoided. Yep. So Lewis moves ahead of Perez and Russell in the driver's standings. He's making real progress now. And are Mercedes making real progress with this car? Because Andrew Shovlin said on this show, just coming into this race, that Hungary would be a real test as to whether the W15 can perform with a hotter track temperature. And I think we've seen enough to say that it can. Do you agree?
Yeah, the step forward is there. That is good to see that it's performing well, or performing better in lower temperature conditions as in Silverstone, for sure. But they are not a disaster in conditions like that. That maybe 3 months ago, it could be a big disaster for them. So I think that the step forward is there. They doing step by step, but I think that there is still a big gap to McLaren right now. But I would say that, and I think that they are on the right direction. And this is the best thing that can happen in a team, because everything that you are, any single evolution that you have now on the CFD, on the wind tunnel, you know that it will perform in one direction. So I think that they found the turning point, they found the light on the tunnel, they found the key point to turn around the situation. And I think that the only way now they will go is to grow, to have a better car with a bigger, a wider window to operate and to get the best of performance. But the best thing for them is they now understand the car. that didn't happen in the last 2 years and a half almost. So, and this is the best news for them, but also for the drivers, because they arrive to a track, they do the free practice one, okay, the car is good, and they know that they go out on the free practice two with the car that they know, and they will try to build the speed, something that on the other races or last years, they didn't know. Every single time that they go out on a track, on a single session, they are, what's gonna happen now?
And Mercedes, while they might have got Q1 wrong with George Russell yep. in qualifying by not putting enough fuel in, they got his strategy absolutely bang on right in the race. He climbs from P17 to P8. So it's been a good day at the office
yep.
for Mercedes.
Agreed.
Now, Albert, what about Red Bull? Their drivers finish fifth in Verstappen and seventh in Perez, who actually, it's worth saying, had a good comeback from P16 on the grid. You've touched on the Red Bull RB20 upgrade on Verstappen's car not delivering what the team wanted and
expected. I was expecting. Maybe the team are 100% happy with it, but I guess that they were expecting a little bit more.
Yeah, you're right. And I think the watching world was expecting yep. more. And I think their lead driver was definitely expecting more, which is why we just saw so much frustration. He said after qualifying third, he said in the press conference that I am completely honest with the team about my driving. Perhaps there are some people in the team who need to be completely honest with me about the developments we're trying to put on this car. And then everything just seemed to boil over today in the race.
Yeah.
Whether it was the exit of turn one, you know, when he ran wide and just kept his boot in, whether it was the radio messages, whether it was strategy. You know, isn't it funny how this game changes? Red Bull got everything right in the British Grand Prix in that wet, dry race, and have done for years. Today, they didn't.
No, that's the feeling I have from the outside, because sometimes we don't control the whole package of information, and I'm sure that they take the decisions in relying in information that probably we don't have. But yeah, when they start going long with Max, I thought, wow, they're going to one stop, or they're going to try to go to one stop, and they couldn't, so, or they didn't. That was not his plan. So yeah, it was not the right call today. But to be honest, we have to say that when you have a quick car that is managing the tires better than anyone else, and that the pace is quicker than anyone else, the strategies normally are, you are a master on a strategy, because it doesn't matter, you start the car two or three laps later than the other. But I think that the frustration point of the weekend of Max was yesterday with the two sets of tires in Q3. He had two sets of new tires in Q3, and he couldn't beat the McLarens. And I think that he was expecting to beat them because of that. And when you push at the limit, and when you know you are on the limit, and you do not beat the other cars, and you know that your teammate cannot help you because it's at the back of the grid, I'm pretty much sure you're starting to see that you are not in a situation where you can win this race.
And added, I think, to Max's frustration this weekend is that there were, I mean, all the big bosses from Red Bull were here, both from Thailand and Austria. Big meetings taking place, and you know, the results of some of those meetings, undoubtedly Checo Perez's future was discussed, but also it's come out this weekend that Helmut Marko has now committed to the team until the end of 2026, which means that Max is locked in with Red Bull now for 2025 and 2026, because he needed Helmut Marko to leave with him to get out of his current contract. So
but do you think that if Max wants to leave the team, someone can stop that situation?
Well,
you know, the contracts are to be broken. I always think that.
Well, that's a fair point. I mean, yeah, we've seen it before many times in Formula One, haven't
we? And I don't know if this frustration that Max showed this weekend, it can arise, or it can be like fuel for all problems that we thought that they were extinguished within the team. And, you know, the whole situation can be, you know, reviewed again and say, okay, we were thinking that, okay, I will not leave the team because I think that we had a team and we had a car to win 25, easy, 24 and 25. That's what I thought at the beginning of the season after Bahrain. I said, they are massively quicker than anyone else, and the 24 World Championship is decided, and the rules will be the same, and the teams will be focused on 26, so 25 is going to be the same. So why Max should leave this team? I never wouldn't leave a winning car to any other driver. So, but if the situation is not that, and suddenly the car is not performing better than the McLarens, or the Mercedes is in some points quicker, and the Ferraris recover the speed, and that Red Bull, as a car, as a team, as a driver, are not the winning force, that could change the situation. I'm sure that in these meetings there are many things that have been discussed and agreed. But, you know, can you imagine this situation of Max for the following races till the end of the season? Not winning a single race?
Wow, now that's...
I don't know. It's difficult to happen. No? I'm pretty much sure that Red Bull has the resources and Max has the talent enough to be again at the top. But if this happens, what can happen there? I don't know.
Look, you mentioned Checo's future. He had a very tough run coming into this weekend. And then when he puts it in the barrier in Q1, the head shaking from Christian Horner on the pit wall, the frustration just boiling over. Helmut Marko then comes out on the record is saying, we are going to make a decision about Checo after the Belgian Grand Prix next weekend. And then I put a few phone calls in and I spoke to a few people. Prior to the race, this is, prior to today's race, the feeling very much is that Daniel Ricciardo was going to get the bump up from VCarb to join Max Verstappen for the Dutch Grand Prix, and that Liam Lawson will get the second VCarb alongside Yuki Tsunoda. Now, none of that has been confirmed. I'm just wondering now, on the strength of Checo's race today, qualified 16th after putting it in the wall, he jumps up to 7th in the race. Is that enough to convince them to keep him?
I don't think so. If they took already the decision, I don't think that, you know, scoring that result is enough. Is enough to calm down a little bit the things. It will be enough if he goes to Spa and he get into the at least the Q3 and score a good points for the team. And then this for sure that will relax everything a little bit. I don't think that changing Checo for Daniel will change the things that much, I will say. I'm not sure. Obviously, Checo needs to do a step forward. He needs to deliver better what he has done yesterday, for example, or in Monaco. You cannot crash the car in Q1 when it's not needed to push. But I'm not sure if Daniel coming back to Red Bull will improve a lot the situation. So, for me, what Red Bull should do is to try to help and to push and to give as much confidence to Checo to recover his moment. That's for me, the best situation for everyone. It's a good situation for Checo. It's a good situation for Max as well, because I'm pretty much sure that Max is happy to have a better Checo next to him, not this one. But also there is a big commercial things behind everyone. There's sponsors from Checo in the team. Mexico and the States is a big market for everyone. So I think that there is a lot of points that that changing a driver in the middle of the season, for me, is a very dramatic situation.
They've done it lots, though.
Yeah, I know.
They've done many times.
They've done other times, yeah.
Most Red Bull drivers dread the summer break, yeah. Unless you're Max Verstappen.
But when these things happen, I was always thinking that the thing that is coming was better for the present and for the future of the team. And I'm not sure that bringing Daniel to the team is the best solution for the present season and for the future of the team. So I think that...
If they feel the urge to replace Checo,
yep.
Would you promote Yuki then? Or would you put Liam Lawson straight into the big team?
That's a good point for me. Put Liam. Liam has delivered a good performance when he was required to drive the car last year. I think he delivered well, but I don't know if he's ready to go next to Max. It's not easy to be next to Max Verstappen. He's a very good driver. So not sure.
I completely get your point about the best solution is to improve Checo.
Yep.
But at least publicly, that is what they've been very consistent in their support of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt what Helmut Marko said before the race here in Hungary about we're going to make a decision. That was the first chink in the armor, if
yes.
You like. That's the first public statement of a slight lack of support. Interestingly, though, that immediately after he makes that statement, Checo actually drives a really solid race. But it's so hard, isn't it?
It is. It
you
is.
Know, with McLaren just 51 points behind now, they need two top drivers, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, but you see, for example, this year, Daniel Ricciardo has had a lot of up and downs as well. And he was on the edge as well of leaving the team because he was not performing well, or Tsunoda was stronger and quicker than him. And then suddenly he reacted when he was on the limit. He reacted again, and he after they changed the chassis, he scored a good result. But then he went behind again Tsunoda. So not sure. It's not easy. It's not easy for Red Bull to take that decision.
Do you know what? It just makes next weekend's Belgian Grand Prix just a mouth-watering prospect, because there are so many subplots yep. that people are going to be watching out for. It's what's going to happen with the strategy at McLaren. Can Checo, last chance saloon, can he do enough to keep with the team? Let's hope he can. Daniel Ricciardo has had a good qualifying, particularly here in Hungary, and is he going to put in a stunning performance that means they can't turn him down? And there's so much. Yep, that's the wonderful thing about Formula One.
We are in a fantastic momentum.
I've always been the type to go all in. When I get into something, whether it's fitness, food, or just following every twist and turn of the season, I want to explore every angle. That's why Prime is such a game changer. It's not just fast delivery, though getting a new cookbook or resistance bands the next day definitely helps. It's also the deep dives on Prime Video, the playlists that match my mood on Amazon Music, and the way all of it comes together to keep me going. What I've learnt is this: Prime isn't just a service, it's a hub, a place where my interests, old and new, can live and grow. From race day rituals to everyday obsessions, Prime helps me get more out of whatever I'm into, and even shows me what's next. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into. amazon.com/prime.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com.
One last team I wanted to discuss with you is Ferrari. They've had some lackluster performances of recent. I read an amazing stat that Nico Hülkenberg has outscored Charles Leclerc since Charles won in Monaco.
With the same engine.
With the same engine.
And other parts.
Yeah, yes. Engine, gearbox,
and
everything.
Technology.
Yeah. But I felt that Charles had confidence in the car, and this was the best race we've seen from him for a while. Would you agree?
Well, maybe not the best weekend. Yesterday on qualifying, Carlos was quicker than him, and he crashed on free practice too here on Friday. So, not sure, you know.
But did you see anything from him in the race today?
The race was good. His pace was good. His pace within the Ferrari team, it was a good pace. He was doing long runs with a very good pace, and he was scoring a good race, definitely. But I'm expecting more from Charles, you know. a driver that is capable to do an amazing weekend like in Monaco, smashing the chrono on free practice 1, 2, 3 quali and not doing any single mistake during the race. Sometimes I feel that when he's not feeling confident with the car from the free practice 1, it's so difficult for him to recover the momentum and put the car again on the pace. And we have seen different momentums this year where Carlos was quicker. So still looking for that big step that Charles have to do. I'm expecting more from him because, you know, he's a so talented driver and he has a lot to deliver. But sometimes I'm thinking that this big and final step as a Formula One driver has not been done yet. If it's because of the car or because of the team, I don't know. But I'm still expecting more from him.
Are we talking about one lap performance or is there...
Consistency. That, you remember the Max Verstappen that came in Formula One as a rookie and he was capable of the best and the day after capable of the worst things, and then suddenly he starts to rise the lowest points to get closer to the top and amazing and to deliver that amazing performance all time. That sometimes I don't see that point yet from Charles, but you know, still maybe because the things around him are not on the right spot.
He's one of the most self-critical drivers.
Indeed.
On the grid. He's very harsh on himself.
Yes.
Publicly as well as I'm sure privately.
Like Lando sometimes. I like drivers that when they do a mistake, you know, they understand that the things must be better. But sometimes I think that they need to do it in closed doors, at home, with the people that is working together with him, with the team. Sometimes making these things public, it doesn't make you stronger. Maybe him needs to show that frustration in that manner. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, I've done a mistake. Everyone done a mistake. Even Max Verstappen, that we thought that he was not human till days like today, do mistakes. And I think it's good to recognize that mistakes, but to learn from these mistakes. That's the most important thing. Do mistakes. Have the knowledge of what had happened and why, and try to learn and improve.
Charles' new teammate in 2025 is the king of consistency, isn't
yep.
he?
Yeah. And I'm pretty much sure that he will arrive really motivated to Maranello. And it will be nice to see how shocking can be for Lewis to arrive to a Latin team, a Ferrari. You know that the manners are. So Italian, so Spanish, so Latin manners. It's going to be interesting to see how both cultures match in the way that they can achieve good things. But I think for the Formula One is a fantastic movement. I'm sorry for Carlos, but for the Formula One, for Ferrari, and even for Lewis, it's going to be a fantastic momentum to see him on red colours.
Quick one on Carlos. Any developments, any movements on where he's going to be next year that you've heard over the weekend?
No. I think he has all the information. He said that he has all the information to take the decision. But when there is things that are still happening, and when you thought that some doors are completely closed and suddenly they open again, the things that are going on Red Bull, or the things that are moving as well in Mercedes. Antonelli has won a race today.
Actually,
another race, second
that.
It was the
first feature race
yes,
win.
Feature
so
race.
He won.
Yep.
He won the sprint last time out at Silverstone, yep. But he actually dominated the feature today. It was the first time I've seen him put a complete Formula 2 weekend together.
Yeah, but yesterday, for example, on the sprint race, I saw a driver that he's still young to drive Formula 1, and in a team as Mercedes, that probably maybe next year is a winning car. And we know that they are a winning team. So putting a rookie there, I thought yesterday, maybe it's not the solution. But today I've seen another fantastic
Albert, I do think that Mercedes coming good now, I do think helps Carlos Sainz's case of getting at least a one-year deal from the team. Because I think Toto must be thinking, we could be championship contenders in 2025.
Yes.
It's almost unfair to put that weight of expectation on Kimi Antonelli, who will have...
And you can destroy him if he's not delivering. The normal thing is not to deliver.
And some people listening to this will go, oh, but Lewis Hamilton was challenging for the championship in his first year at McLaren in 2007.
Yep.
But He was older. He did two seasons of Formula 3 and a season.
And a lot of testing.
A lot of testing and a season in GP2, which was the predecessor to Formula 2. So Lewis had lots more experience than Andrea Kimi Antonelli. So it's not a similar case.
No, it's not a similar case, definitely. And I don't know. It's a difficult time for him to take the decision for him. I mean, for everyone. You can say Carlos, yes. Toto, yes. Red Bull, yes. You know, everyone is in a situation where we are not playing only with 25. We are playing with 25 and 26. You say Carlos can go on 25 to Mercedes, yes. But he will not be Mercedes 25 only if he doesn't know what he's going to do on 26.
But I think he should take a one-year deal at Mercedes.
Yep, agree. 100%.
You've got to go for performance ahead of anything else. And George Russell's contract's up for renewal at the end of next year. Maybe Carlos can persuade Toto that he's the guy that he's got to keep and not George Russell. Who knows what's going to happen in Formula One? It moves so quickly. So the top 10 looked like this. Oscar Piastri took his first win in Formula One and was followed home by McLaren teammate Lando Norris, giving the team their first 1-2 since Monza in 2021. Lewis Hamilton took an incredible 200th podium in third, while Leclerc took his best result since Monaco in fourth. Verstappen came home in fifth, Sainz was sixth in the second Ferrari, and then it was Perez who made up 9 places from his starting position. Russell was another big climber in 8th place, and Tsunoda was 9th, and Stroll 10th. The top 10 in the Drivers' Championship sees Verstappen leading on 265 points, 76 points ahead of Lando Norris in 2nd. Leclerc sits 3rd on 162, 8 points ahead of his Ferrari teammate Sainz in 4th. Piastri is 5th, only 5 points further back, and Hamilton now sits 6th, 1 point ahead of Perez in 7th. Russell is 8th, and the two Aston Martins round out the top 10, Alonso ahead of Stroll. In the Constructors' Championship, things are hotting up nicely. Red Bull still lead, but they're only 51 points ahead of McLaren in 2nd. Ferrari are 3rd, 81 points ahead of Mercedes in 4th, who are on 241 points. And then there's a big jump back to Aston Martin in 5th, on only 69 points. But then it gets tight. Vicar are 6th on 33, Haas are 7th on 27, Alpine are 8th on 9 points, Williams are 9th on 4, and Sauber have yet to score. Look, final one before you go. Driver of the day here in Hungary, Albert. Who would you go for?
I must say Oscar Piastri, yes. Although this is a momentum that he will remember and we will remember for a long time, you know. The first victory is a very special moment for them, but I think it's a very, very special moment for the Formula One. 7 winners in 13 races. That's amazing. That means that Formula One is in an amazing moment, not only for the support of the fans and the attention that in all the media of all the people and all the people that's following the Formula One, also for the momentum that is internally with the competition, with different winners, with very close gaps between teams, and that makes us to go to Spa with a lot of expectations. Now, you tell me, Albert, put your money. I don't know. You know,
it's hard, isn't it?
It's hard. Last year was so easy. Yeah. You know, I was doing something for Santander where I was saying, yeah, who's going to win this weekend? I was, you know, successful almost every weekend. It was so easy. But now it's so difficult, and that's good. That's good for the sport.
Well, I agree with everything you've just said. Isn't it amazing, too, that Oscar is the 5th Australian to win a
really?
World Championship Formula One Grand Prix? Look, so I second everything you've said. You're counting those 5 drivers.
Yeah, I'm 4th, huh? Mark?
Should we go in chronological order?
Okay.
So we'll start with...
Jack Brabham. Alan?
Alan Jones.
Jones, yeah.
Mark
Webber. Daniel Ricciardo and Oscar Piastri, yeah.
There we go. Look, I agree with everything you've just said, but just to give a slightly different answer...
Don't tell me that, because I respect you very much.
And I do, but I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton. I thought the fire in his belly all weekend, he wanted that third place... like it was his first podium, and I have so much respect for that. The longevity of the guy, the feistiness, the competitiveness.
8 wins here.
I know. I'm sure if you said to Lewis at a quiet moment, you can drive one track for the rest of your life, I'm sure it would be this one. He just loves this track. Well, he'd probably say Silverstone as well. No, without the crowds. Without the crowds.
Without the fans.
Albert, thank you so much for your time. Tom. Great to review this race.
Pleasure. I'm sorry who's been damaged for my words, but yeah, always with a lot of respect for everyone.
Now, for more reaction and analysis from Hungary, go to Formula1.com or the official Formula One app. And we will, of course, be back next Monday from the Spa-Francorchamps paddock with our review of the Belgian Grand Prix. That's going to be a very difficult one to call. But for now, thank you for listening. And F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios. . 2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at Honda.com.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.